Good morning. Good to see you all this morning. It's beautiful. It's going to be another beautiful day, I think. Hope you're able to get outside and enjoy some of the beauty from yesterday. Summer officially started for me yesterday. I got my lawnmower stuck in the backyard. That happens summertime. Pulled the truck down there. I got the truck stuck as well. But I had a couple people come help me push that out last night. I appreciate the help. Joel and Jeffrey Jester came and helped. I love this time of year. I love this time of year. Spring is in the air. Everything is being reborn. And I even love how the trees are coming back and beginning to bud again, despite, you know, the pollen that we live with here. I still love the beauty of this time of year. And I know most of you do too. It's probably one of your favorite times of year. One of the things a lot of people start doing this time of year is they start working on their garden. I've been hearing more and more tillers being started up, seeing those come out a little bit. I started mine up the other day. It ran for a few seconds and then shut down. We have some work to do there too, I guess. Talked to my sister maybe a week and a half ago in North Arkansas, and I asked her if she had planted her garden yet. And at that time, it was still too cold. I hope she's getting closer now. But if you ever lived up in that area, north central Arkansas, and then especially over to the west of there, you find out that gardening is a little bit different there. You have to start later, and of course, the season ends earlier. But there's this matter of rocks there as well. We had a lot of rocks growing in our garden as I was growing up. It's really the easiest thing to grow up there, it seems like. Those rocks, they were a nuisance for us. We're blessed down here. We just don't have them the same way down here as they do up in North Arkansas. I like to tease my sister sometimes about the gardening and about the rocks a little bit. I called her a couple of years ago and asking her advice. I said, I need some help with my garden. And, well, what's wrong? Well, I found a couple of rocks in it. I don't know what to do. I told her I thought they probably came from my driveway, but I just wasn't sure what to do. And I got the, oh, shut up, is what I got back from her. This morning, I want to talk about a particular rock that we find in the story of Jesus' life. And over the past few weeks, we've been in a series called Hidden Gems. And we've been taking time basically to take it single verses of the Bible and look at them. And I've called this series Hidden Gems because they are verses that we don't normally think a lot of. We don't normally study them a whole lot. They're not going to be those well-known verses. You're not going to see them on Facebook. You're probably not going to see them on any bookmark from Lifeway or anything like that. But they're important because they are God-breathed as well. The same way John 3:16 is, the same way Philippians 4:13 is, these verses hold significance for us because they are from God. They are from God. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is profitable. And I hope that we've been able to take some verses from the Bible and learn some truths from these Scriptures. And I hope that it's increased our faith in some way. I hope that we're able to understand more about what God wants for us and about what God wants from us as well. This morning, I've decided to take advantage of the entire world celebrating the risen Christ this morning. This morning's Hidden Gem takes us to the book of Mark. And Jesus has just been crucified and buried, just like the scripture reading that you heard. And we see at the end of chapter 15 that Joseph of Arimathea, and we find out in other accounts that Nicodemus was there to help him. But Joseph of Arimathea has rolled this stone against the entrance to the tomb. And we pick up the story in Mark 16 here, if you'll read along with me. It says, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb? And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe, and they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who is crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him?" What wonderful words to hear and to read, no matter what the time of year is, but especially during these wonderful spring days when it seems like all of nature is being resurrected in some way. This morning, in connecting this story to our series of hidden gems, we're going to concentrate on verse 4 and see what lessons we can take from these words and how we maybe can apply them to our own lives. Mark wrote here and he said, "Looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back." And then he said, "It was very large." Look at the very first part of the verse. It begins with this, "Looking up, looking up." How good are you at reading body language? Just those two words suggest these women had their heads down for some reason. Their body language also seems to match their words that you read in verse 3 there. Both suggest that they don't have, well, they have little hope. And why should they have hope? Think about it a minute. Think about what these women had seen over the past 3 years of Jesus' ministry. These women have a history with Jesus. This is not somebody that they just met during Passover week that was crucified. They know this person. Mary Magdalene, her ties go all the way back to Galilee. Jesus had removed 7 demons from her. 7 demons. There's history there. The other Mary is identified as the mother of James the Less, one of the apostles. Luke tells us that there were some women that supported the ministry of Jesus from their own means. From their own means. Mary Magdalene's named in that scripture in Luke. Luke says there were many other women along with her and the ones that he names. These 3 women are specifically mentioned back in chapter 15. As having been there at the cross. And then later on they're far off from the cross. They saw where Joseph and Nicodemus had laid and buried Jesus. And now as they're walking toward that tomb, what are they doing? They're looking down. And they're thinking about the difficulties that lie ahead. They have no idea that Jesus' body is gone. They have no idea. They expect him to be right where Joseph laid him. And we know that because they come prepared with spices. They're going to anoint the corpse. And we know that because they're worried about a rock. They're worried about a stone that's in their way. See, in order to get to that body of Jesus, there's this rock that has to be moved. I want to look at that rock for just a moment because this was a very real problem for these ladies. The Gospels tell us that Jesus was laid in an unused tomb, a new tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. He's a rich man. A lot of the fancier tombs at that time would have used a disc-shaped rock. I don't know if you can see it in the picture there. But it's similar to a millstone that they would use to grind grain. It would have been carved out of very heavy rock, would have been placed in a channel that sloped down toward the opening. So it was easy to get the stone down there, but if you wanted to roll it up, it took a lot of energy. The ones that have been found from that time period are normally between 4 and 6 feet wide, a foot thick. Without knowing exactly what kind of rock, it's hard to say how much it would weigh, but some estimates I see go up to a ton. Whatever the weight, though, it's a large obstacle for these women, isn't it? Something that's hard to handle for them. This was not some rock that you pick up out of your garden and throw it across the fence. These heavy things weighing on these women, on their minds, a burden of some kind that they didn't feel capable of handling. It's almost as if in their minds that stone was larger than they were, and they know they can't roll it away without having help. And it didn't end there. while the problem that they're facing is, well, literally, it's a hard problem, right? But think about it emotionally for a moment. They had just watched their friend, their hopes and dreams die on the cross. For me, it would have been even more emotionally draining knowing that I was going there to anoint the body of a deceased one. That'd be very hard for me. And that's what these women were facing that day. On top of everything else they had seen, traveling with Jesus, supporting him, watching him constantly return good when he is smacked with evil, watching him heal people, even being the recipient of healing in Mary Magdalene's case. All of that emotional draining pain and anguish of watching him die on the cross. And then there's this rock that's in the way, keeping them from seeing Jesus, separating the two. That's their future. That's what they were looking forward to that day. That day of resurrection, we know it as. There was something wrong with all that talk, though, and all that worry that was going on. There's something wrong there. My grandma would have called it burying trouble. These women were concerned and worried about a problem in the future that's not even there. Because when they get to the tomb, what's happened? The stone's rolled back, isn't it? The stone's rolled back. Don't get too down on them, though. Don't get too down on them. Because we do the same thing in our own lives. That's one of our problems as human beings. We like to borrow trouble. Sometimes we worry because, well, we just know something's going to happen, right? We just know that when we get those test results back from the doctor, I just know it's going to be bad news. As a matter of fact, I'm not even going to make the doctor's appointment. I just know it's going to be bad. That's where these women were in their mind. They knew that when they get to this tomb, there was going to be this large stone in the way. But it didn't happen, did it? The future that they were fretting over and they were worried about, it didn't come to pass. It never happened. It never happened. I know most of the things that I worry about in the future, most of them don't come to pass either. How about you? Instead of worrying, we need to remember God's words, God's promises that He makes to us. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down. Weighs him down. Isaiah 41:13 talks about God saying that He is right there at our right hand. He says, fear not, I am the one who helps you. Jesus Himself talks about being anxious. So you can't add a single hour to your life by being anxious. It's futile for us to worry about the rocks that we might encounter in life. But what about the ones that we do encounter? What happens when that test result comes back and it is bad news? What happens when reality starts to weigh us down a little bit and we start feeling overwhelmed? We start feeling like we're ill-equipped to handle what's being put before us. What do you do with those rocks? Wouldn't it be great if we could just pick those up and throw them over the fence too? Honestly, that's what I want to encourage you to do this morning. That's exactly what God wants us to do. He does want us to take that rock and just throw it over the fence. See, we don't have to bear those burdens on our own. We don't have to do that. When those things come up in your life, you don't have to bear that burden on your own. You can take that rock. You know what? You can throw it to this church. We're commanded to care for one another, aren't we? Bear one another's burdens. Help one another. Pray for one another. We can't do that if we don't know, by the way. We can't pray for you in a specific area if we don't know what's troubling you, what's causing you to pull you down there. Please don't keep those things to yourself and just keep them there and let them weigh on your heart and mind. share them with us so that we can fulfill what we're commanded to do. Share them with us so we can intercede for you. Ask God to help you in every way. Of course, share those burdens with God too, right? Share those anxieties with Him. 1 Peter 5:6 says these words, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time He may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on Him." Why? Peter says, because He cares for you. He cares for you. God cares for us. He wants to strengthen us. He wants to help us. He doesn't want us to see the rocks in life as something that we are ill-equipped or we feel ill-equipped to handle. He doesn't want us to feel that way. Instead, He wants us to see those times where we may feel a little bit weak. He wants us to view those times as the perfect moment for God's power to shine through us. Check this out in 2 Corinthians 12. This is a story about a weakness that Paul had. 2 Corinthians 12, starting in verse 7, says, "So to keep me," that's Paul, "to keep me from becoming conceited because of surpassing greatness of the revelations," Paul says, "a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited." Paul says, "Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But He said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in weakness.'" Paul says, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, I am content with my weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, calamities." He says, "When I am weak, I am strong." Paul had some kind of rock in his life. Not the good kind of rock. He had that thorn, some weakness going on in his life. Three times, "God, please remove it. God, please remove it." Jesus prayed three times too, didn't He? "God, please remove it." But Paul was told, "My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In weakness. So what's Paul's response to that? Verse 9 says, "I will boast even more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ can rest on me. When I am weak, I am strong." See, Paul had a choice there, though. We have the same kind of choice. He could have, after asking God three times, he could have turned away from God, couldn't he? Or he could turn toward Him. Take comfort in this grace that's being spoken of. Experience an even closer walk with God than ever before. And that's what Paul chose in his life. He chose to endure this physical weakness. He chose to endure helplessness so that he could be secured by the strength of Christ. See, we don't have to be strong because Christ is. God demonstrates His power through our weaknesses. We are made strong through His power. In Hebrews 11:34, the Hebrew writer points out that those people that are in that roll call of faith, he says they were made strong out of weakness. Made strong out of weakness. And we can be made strong too, the same way. You know, the worst thing about those rocks that come up in our own life is that sometimes they're hard to see through. And more than that, many times they keep us separated from Christ. They keep us separated from God. And these women walking along in these verses, you can tell that they see themselves standing before the tomb. And you can tell that they see themselves helpless, separated from where they need to be. For us, that stone sounds a lot like sin in our life. Sin in our life does some terrible things. It sometimes causes physical suffering. Sometimes sin causes emotional suffering. It fills us full of guilt, full of shame. But the very worst thing that it does is it separates us. Separates us from God. Isaiah 59:2 talks about it. Your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, Isaiah writes. Your sins have hidden God's face from you so that he does not hear. In Ephesians 2:12, Paul reminds the church there in Ephesus. He says, at one time you were separated from Christ. You had no hope in God. Sin separates us from God. That's the worst thing that the stone of sin does. The good news is, though, here is that that stone that separated these women, it had already been moved, and ours has well. That's the gospel message for us. That stone has already been moved for us. In Romans 5:6, Paul tells the church there, he says, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. The stone was moved. Two verses later, he said, God showed his love for us that while we were still sinners, what? Christ died for us. Two verses later, he says, we're reconciled to God by the death of his Son. And now we shall be saved by his life. It's Romans 5, 6, 8, and 10. That stone was taken away from us already. That barrier is not there anymore. It's great news. I want to ask you this morning, are you worried about some large rock that you think you may have to face? Are you barring in trouble? Maybe you're already facing one in life. I don't know. Maybe there's something going on right now that you know is just, it's, well, you just think it's too hard to handle because it's too big, so heavy and thick that it's, you can't even see past it. I don't know what your answers are to those questions, whether you answer yes or no. But if you answered yes to any of those things, that rock is separating you from Christ in some way. It may not necessarily be sin itself, but if it's keeping you from fully enjoying God's promises in your life, it needs to be removed, doesn't it? It needs to be removed because separation from God is sin, right? To help give you more hope and more faith in your life, I want you to cut out the front page of your bulletin this morning. Stick it on your refrigerator when you get home. Because the things that we see as big rocks in life, they never match up to how big God's promises are for us. Never. That rock says, you know, you can't do it. But God says, I can. Through Christ, you can do it. That rock makes us worried and afraid. But God says, hey, cast your fears on me. We're scared and we feel like we're alone. Hebrew writer tells us God will never leave us nor forsake us, as he quotes Jeremiah. We sometimes think we don't have faith. But God says, I've given each of you a measure of faith. We just need to use it sometimes. We need to take it out and exercise our faith a little bit and watch it grow. Watch it grow. I kind of like the fact that Mark points out the size of this stone after mentioning it had already been moved. I know from a literary perspective, it'd probably make more sense if you put it in verse 3. Mark didn't do that, though. It's almost like seeing the size of the problem after it's already been solved for us. And I love that because that's exactly what's been done for us Exactly what's been done for us. While we were yet sinners. We didn't even know we were sinners, by the way, did we? But while we were sinners, God sent Jesus to die for us. Christ died for us. The problem of sin was removed even before we got there. That stone was rolled away. Instead of being separated, we now have opportunity to interact, be with Him. This morning, I want to invite you and encourage you to act on the knowledge and act on the faith that you have in Jesus being resurrected from the dead. He died on the cross, was buried, and when the ladies got there, His body was nowhere to be found. In that tomb, He said, there's where He was laid. But He wasn't there. Because of that, we have hope. We have hope in a future, a relationship with God because of that. To be with God, though, we must follow those New Testament teachings. We must confess with our mouths that we believe that those things happen. We must confess Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. We must change our ways, repent, be buried with Him in baptism, and arise to walk a new creature with our sins washed away. I'm going to tell you right now, that is a great resurrection right there. To be a new creature in Christ. I want to invite you this morning to do that. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, I want to encourage you to do that. Maybe there is some rock in your life that you would like for us to pray about this morning. We would love to do that for you as well. Ladies and gentlemen, we love each and every one of you. We want every person to come to Christ. If you have any needs, please come as we stand and sing this invitation song.